Topic today is unfair play, barriers to accessing sport programs and facilities in Lethbridge. Our guest speakers will be Diane Randall and Tom Hopkins from the City of Lethbridge. And they'll be talking about the topic in terms of how some of the people who need to access the services, or the children who most need physical activity and access to recreational sports programs in this city, can't access them for one reason or another, and what we can do in terms of planning and programs to provide and meet those challenges for those kids. So just some background: Tom Hopkins started to work with the City of Lethbridge as a lifeguard, and he's held various programs, positions with the city, such as transit and leisure facilities, prior to becoming manager of recreational parks and culture. He's currently overseeing development of recreational and culture master plan, and the parks and bicycle and pathways master plan, and sports and recreational policies for the City of Lethbridge. Diane Randall is the manager of community and social development. She oversees the development and implementation of social policy for the City of Lethbridge. So the program today is we'll have our speakers come up and present on their topic for 25 minutes, and then we'll eat lunch, and then we'll have a question period. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. Those are Shaw TV, the University of Lethbridge, Erickson's Restaurant, and the Lethbridge Herald for making this session today possible. And I'd like to invite Diane Randall from the City of Lethbridge to commence the presentation. And I'd like you to give both speakers a warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spearman, and it really is a pleasure to be here today and to see some familiar faces as well. In 2005, the City of Lethbridge under Community and Social Development undertook a research project to look at what the strengths and what the needs were in our community around social issues. So based on that available research and supported by a number of focus group findings that we had within the community, there are currently a number of issues facing children, families, and youth in Lethbridge. These include overall health and well-being, as might be affected by poverty or substance use, lack of access to transportation, lack of recreational opportunities within their family budgets, exposure to family violence, to bullying, as well as limited access to such basic needs as affordable housing. So this is due to a number of challenges that what we found related to poverty, whether they be low wages, long work hours, trying to make ends meet. Over 16% of the people of families living in Lethbridge live well below the low income cutoff rate. As well, children, over 20% of 1 in 5 children in our community live in poverty. So given those kinds of statistics, there is really a significant impact on the health and social well-being of children and families and youth in Lethbridge. The other area that we defined is there's definitely some service priorities when we think about children, when we think about youth, when we think about families in general. Youth, their primary issues that they faced, and this was as a result of talking to a number of youth in different focus groups, is definitely one around poverty and its impact on them and their ability to meet with their friends, socialize with their friends, and be healthy and active. Also, substance use, addictions. Many of our youth also face mental health challenges. What they pointed out, too, was the lack of social, recreational, and cultural opportunities as well that don't cost money for them because they are faced with poverty. They're also exposed to family violence, to different bullying, and so therefore feel socially excluded at times in our community as well. So ensuring that youth in the community have access to social and recreational cultural opportunities and space was really very important to them. Youth reported that one of their major concerns is the lack of opportunities for engagement in the community, whether it be for recreation, cultural, or social opportunities. All youth groups reported that there were not enough activities for them in the community that was affordable or offered them a safe place to just be with their friends, to be with their peers, and to engage. They want healthy activity as well. There was no place for them just to go. There are organized and often very costly opportunities for them, and being a parent who is involved with dance, with football, with soccer, with swimming, we all know what the costs of some of those sports actually are. But such as clubs and team sports that are available for youth, and although these opportunities are important for healthy engagement, there are many youth who are looking for less formal and less structured opportunities and activities. One of the other barriers that youth shared with us is the lack of transportation. And when you think about transportation on a Sunday, which is a time when youth could engage in activity with each other, the transportation is different than during the week. Youth also noted that there were a few places where they could go, but they didn't want to be exposed to smoke, but now they know that there's smoking bylaw. That really has affected some change for them. But many establishments are really adult-only and are geared towards youth. This lack of public places for youth compounds the feeling amongst some of them that the community is not interested in them. And when they feel that, and it's about their perception, the focus on the community is on other higher priority groups, such as seniors, because that's what's in the media and that's what's shared in the media as well. As one participant noted, all the talk is about seniors. We're always building seniors' housing, but what about young people? There is nothing for us in the community. Although this may not be a completely accurate reflection of events in the community, it does highlight a certain level of discontent felt by youth in Lethbridge. Service providers supported these views, expressing concern with the lack of daytime and evening programming and safe places for youth to be able to congregate. So based on the information gathered, the following were identified as priority areas for youth: a youth space and building of self-esteem. There is a need to increase the self-esteem of youth, especially our at-risk youth, as a way to reduce socialization and overall alienation within the community. And the key factors that often produce engagement in most high-risk behaviors and activities. Opportunities for recreation and culture and socializing may be the key to addressing this issue. The other area was that the City of Lethbridge should investigate the feasibility of making city-run, funded recreational and cultural opportunities free for low-income individuals, children, and families. This could best be achieved with some form of pass that families could qualify for and use at a variety of facilities and for a variety of events and at a variety of times. As we stated before, poverty also impacts a family's ability to access other services, such as transportation and childcare, all of which would help increase the quality of life for low-income families and their children. The National Longitudinal Survey of Children and Youth found that children who participate in one organized sport and one cultural event or activity outside of school tend to have a higher self-esteem, interact better with friends, do better in school, stay in school longer, and in fact can break the cycle of poverty. That to us is extremely powerful. A frequently discussed strength was the amount of interagency work and collaboration that occurs in Lethbridge. In fact, service providers believe that Lethbridge could be seen as a model for other communities interested in collaborative approaches. Organizations are very supportive of each other in Lethbridge and work hard to ensure they are working together to make the referral process as seamless as possible. The work in the community is based on proactive, harm reduction, community-based service perspective. Some questions were raised as to the accessibility of these services, such as recreation and cultural events for low-income families. The increase in outreach and in-home programs, Aboriginal services and rural programs were all seen as positive for youth. Supports for youth. In our community, youth play a very important role. They report lack of opportunities for engagement in community, in recreation, social and cultural opportunities. And although there are organized and often costly team sports and clubs available, there are many youth in our community who are looking for less structured activities. A lack of safe places for youth to congregate, combined with adequate community programming and support services, is resulting in boredom and contributing to high-risk behaviors. So it was then recommended within our social policy that the City of Lethbridge actively engage our youth in order to address the lacks and the needs that they have, the strengths that we already have in our community, and other issues that are impacting young people within Lethbridge. And as a result, in March, we held a youth summit. And the youth summit definitely does confirm the work that was done earlier. And we are now working with them to look at different options in Lethbridge. Thank you.
We'll now ask Tom Hopkins to come up and conclude with the second part of the presentation. Thank you. Tom?
Thank you very much. One of the areas of my that I control is the area of recreation, parks, and culture. And 2006 has been a big year for us because that is a year in which we've done a significant amount of public work in terms of determining what the needs and issues are within this community. And as Diane indicated, there are a number of areas in which we are concerned about because of the inability for us to provide the services that we think that this community needs. A couple of the challenges that we faced was looking at how we were going to determine what the community wanted and what were the issues and the identified approaches that we wanted to take. We invested significantly in a number of survey tools and models in the year of 2006, in which we attempted to collect from a variety of stakeholders and from the public at large and also from children in terms of what they wanted and what they needed to ensure that they had their recreational sporting opportunities, cultural opportunities met. One of the things that we did was we did some telephone surveys, met with all of the various user groups and organizations that provide services in our community to try and identify what were the big issues out there. And to be quite frank with you, we were quite surprised in some of the areas that we discovered. One was that we provide some pretty good services for adults, and we provide some pretty good services for organized sporting groups and organizations. What we found that we were deficient in, and Diane's talked about it, is we're deficient in the areas where there's spontaneous or pop-up recreational opportunities. And with that, one of the things that we found was that our youth are challenged by a number of areas. One is we provide lots of sporting opportunities out there, but if you do not have the dollars to be able to go out and buy the skates, if you don't have the money to buy hockey sticks and soccer cleats and balls and all of those kinds of things, you have restrictions in what you can do. We also found that that many of the children said that they weren't necessarily always interested in high competitive levels of sport, that they wanted things in which they could just spontaneously go out and play or recreate. And with that, that meant that there had to be facilities or opportunities provided to them whereby they could do that. And one of the challenges that we faced is that the City of Lethbridge had the great opportunity to provide a whole number of facilities back in the 60s and the 70s. And that was as a result of a significant number of provincial and federal grants that were out there that allowed us to take those dollars and apply them to the construction of facilities. Those grants no longer exist at this point in time. And as a result, we have not built facilities in the last 15 to 20 years. And if you look at some of the recreation facilities we have right now, many of them are in the 40 and 50-year age range. And, of course, that means a couple of things. One is that they're no longer contemporary, which means that they don't meet current recreational needs within the community. And as well, our community has grown. So where we used to be exceptionally proud of what we could offer for facilities back in the 60s and 70s, and if I went to a recreation conference back then, I puffed my chest up and said, we were the best out there, and we were at one point in time. We are no longer in that particular category. And one of the challenges we have, and I'll just use Ice Arena as an example, is that right now we are the primary booker of ice arenas in the surrounding community. Most of our minor hockey groups and organizations all go outside this community to access ice. So what that means is we've gotten behind in what we were able to offer. And that extra demand has put restrictions on what we can offer for public events, for drop-in activities and things like that, because organized sports start to dominate in what they can use. The other thing that that's happened in terms of our facilities is that they're also expensive. So where we had lots of grants and opportunities to access dollars to build things, all of those are gone now. And we all know it, but the challenges we all have are in terms of paying taxes. And right now, taxes are the only way that we can pay for new facilities, as well as fundraising and grants and things like that. But the grants are really reduced. And fundraising opportunities, while they're there, cannot make up for all of the costs that are out there in terms of trying to build a facility. As well, facilities are exceptionally expensive anymore because, as you're all familiar, if you've looked at what has happened with your house and the escalation of costs and different things like that, it's been a greater and greater challenge. As well, there used to be years ago in the school programs an opportunity for every child in the grade 4 classes to go out and be able to recreate. So that meant that somewhere in that process they got a pair of skates and they got a set of swimming trunks and things like that, and that allowed them to go out. Some of those things have changed now within the school systems, and so unless we can work more closely with the school systems and provide different opportunities within the school curriculum, a lot of children don't get that just general opportunity to go out and learn how to skate or learn how to swim. And certainly, if you can't skate and you can't swim in this community, you are restricted in some of the things that you can do. Right now, we're looking at trying to address some of the areas of just general recreational needs through our pathways and parks planning processes. And we do run into some just general problems. Many children would love to have just a little half basketball court out there. They'd love to have an area where they can skateboard and all of those kinds of things. And some of those barriers to those recreational opportunities are actually us, because we as adults don't like to have children recreating right outside our back door. We don't like to have noise and all of the activity that takes place out there, and so we're somewhat restrictive ourselves in what we want. And so when we try to go and put some of these facilities in place, we're actually stopped by the community who say, I don't want those recreational opportunities taking place in my area because they're too noisy, they're too disruptive to the type of environment I have. So it becomes relatively complex in terms of you're trying to, on one hand, provide drop-in and recreational opportunities. On the other hand, you're trying to meet the needs of the community, and how do you balance those two together? So what that causes us to do in some cases is we put some of those types of facilities in more remote locations. Then the challenge comes up is because they're not supervised or there's not opportunities for the type of activity to be monitored and scrutinized, then some of the other challenges come in, which means the children don't feel safe anymore because obviously somebody could come in there and cause them grief. They're feeling compromised because they can't get to those locations because as we put them in the more remote areas, how do I get there? And if I have parents who have restricted incomes and maybe don't have cars or don't have the ability to just spontaneously take me out there and drop me off, then I'm challenged as a child in how am I able to access those particular facilities and feel safe and comfortable and all of those different kinds of things. We currently work with the school districts. We actually have a joint use agreement which allows access to the sports fields and the gyms and all of those different types of things. And that means that our gyms are used significantly in the evenings for scouts programs and different things like that, as well as volleyball, basketball, and all of those kinds of things. But still, even within those organized sports like that, you still have to have the right equipment, you still have to pay the fees to access those particular programs. And for some children, that's a real challenge. They just don't have those kinds of opportunities. And where we have cost recovery models that we have to include in all of the recreation buildings that we have, if we can't recover part of those costs, then people can't recreate. And certainly puts a challenge on our community. Some communities have developed programs where they do allow subsidies for children who don't have the ability to pay, but it's also embarrassing to the public or to the parents. So the parents are sometimes handcuffed with, geez, I understand that I could access my child, but I have to go through a rather onerous process by which I have to demean myself and say I can't provide basic opportunities for my child. And so sometimes people don't avail themselves of that because they're too embarrassed. It's too hard on them. And as well, that information gets out there, so that child feels less valued because as they go out there and talk to their friends, they're in a little different category. How do you access this program? Well, you're the subsidized child in the system. That makes it rather difficult for those children to be able to participate. So one of the challenges that we face as we try and go through and provide recreational services and programs is to make sure that wherever possible, we can provide opportunities that are free and drop in. We have an arrangement with the YWCA to try and run playground drop-in programs when children are out of school to be able to access activities and those types of things. But they are still limited in how much we can provide. We still have some financial challenges there. And so we start to run into some of those types of problems of being able to have more global access to different types of opportunities. One of the things our surveys showed, too, that I was really quite surprised about was the fact that we actually have some pretty good opportunities for adult programs within our community, but the children's programs were actually the lowest ranked ones for availability and for success and satisfaction within our community. And you sort of think it should be the other way around. We should always have the most opportunities for our children, and usually as adults we say we should have lesser opportunities. But it mirrors what Diane was talking about, which is in the broad cross-section of our community, we still have or seem to be able to provide services and programs that better suit adults than we do children. So it is a real challenge for us. We're currently looking at trying to develop sport and recreation policies and a number of things that will clearly identify where we provide opportunities for the whole population and try and make sure that at some point in time we start to look at a better balance within our community to make sure that we met the needs of children as well as the needs of adults. The other challenge that we're finding as we deal with children accessing some of our programs is, in the past, or at least when I was a child, my mother felt very comfortable about sending me off on the bus to go downtown and to do different things, and I was 8 or 9 years old, and as long as I knew that I wasn't getting shortchanged when I paid my money to get onto the bus, I was okay. But parents nowadays don't feel that way. They're more concerned about the health and safety of their children. They have more accountabilities. And as a result, those opportunities where I could just go and access those services are no longer available to me. And probably if a parent was to send their 8 or 9 year old down to the swimming pool all by themselves, we looked at as being a poor parent that wasn't properly supervising their child. So all of those types of things become more and more of a problem. And as work becomes more complex and as most families now have dual income parents, it puts a greater onus on those parents to try and be able to bring their children to different locations. And if you're a single parent, trying to go through the complexity of raising a child and looking after all of the financial needs of your family and having limited incomes, etc., makes it very, very difficult for those people to be able to access the programs that we have. So there's lots of challenges out there. Some of the issues that we will continue to look at are looking at how we can better provide different opportunities. How do we match trends that are taking place out there? Because obviously, sports come and go. There are 30 years ago, lacrosse was big in this community. 15 years ago, we wouldn't have seen a lacrosse player anywhere. Today, lacrosse is big and booming, and it's one of those nice sports where there's a lot of equipment required, at least at the beginner level. At the same time, there are sports that were very popular about 10 years ago, like rollerblading and things like that, and those are starting to die. So some of our challenges are to make sure that we build and construct facilities that are generic and that allow us to have changing opportunities within those facilities. So big square box facilities are a good thing to have. And as we look at trying to develop new and better leisure opportunities, we try and incorporate all of those kinds of things into our planning so that that we're not so specialized in any of the sport areas that we have, that we can't provide a diversity of opportunity and experiences. And I guess in closing, some of the challenges that all of us face are how do we address the needs of aging populations and youth populations, because very often they are very different and diverse types of challenges, and how do we address those financial issues that this community has. And one of the things we have in this community is we have people who are very wealthy and people who are very poor, and it's trying to mesh those two areas together so that we provide same opportunities, or at least a level of opportunity for everybody to play and be able to utilize facilities. So with that, thank you very much. I really appreciate being invited here.